All right, guys, so welcome back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. We're going to go over some quick announcements, as usual. Y'all already know. And once again, if anyone would like to share testimony from yesterday's soul winning, we sure to appreciate that. Anyone out there, Sister Joaquina, Eileen, amen, pretty much. Let me know, amen. Y'all are more than welcome to come on up here. But let's just quickly go over our calendar tab, and then we will continue through where we left off from our announcements. So with that said, calendar tab, we're going to click on that here. Don't forget church every weekend, every Saturday, unless announced prior to, we go soul winning. And yesterday we had the privilege to continue in our apartment door complex, and we were accompanied by Sister Joaquina and Eileen. It was a blessing, and we had a great time. We finished the two complexes that were locked on us last week, amen. So we went in there quickly, and we finished pretty fast because of the help, amen. That's always a blessing. Would anyone like to come up and share testimony? Anyone? No. Anyone else? All right, Sister Katie, come on back here, amen. So we had a great time back there. We knocked out all those doors, and then we did Canyon Club, the Shadow Creek, or I don't know what they're called there, announcements. So we'll have Sister Katie come on up here and share a little bit of your experience, and then there you go. Go ahead.
It'll be a short one because sorry, I'm trying to gather my thoughts. So yesterday we were able to go hit up the apartments that we were unable to get to. There was actually, it looked pretty bit large, but once you go into there, it was very, very small. And so we were taking the, two people took the top, and me and Eileen took the bottom. Kina and Carlos took the tops. And so we were just hitting them all up, boom, 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 and getting them done. And it was nice having help because we were able to do it faster. And then from there, we went to some apartments on Canyon, and we were able to do all that. I think we only got about two rejections, would you guys say? No? One?
Just two.
Yeah, so just two rejections. It went pretty well. We were going up and down the stairs. It was a workout. We were all sweaty, and we all got a good workout in yesterday. And it was a blessing just to be able to go out with the sisters in Christ. And also for the pier, we were able to witness to some people. It was really good. It was pretty receptive, I would say. People were pretty receptive, and it went just really well. It was an awesome day of just sharing about God and passing out tracts.
Praise the Lord, amen. We're going to keep calling Gibby, though. He already knows. 9:45, amen, Gibby. We got you, brother. We're going to keep calling you. And so, guys, it was a blessing. We went down to the pier afterwards, had a great time of soul winning. We had a great time of ministering to a lot of people. They took the tracks. And one thing that I liked about yesterday at the pier was there was a family walking by. Two little kids were reading the sign with Katie, and she was just loving on the kids. The parents were beginning to pull their kids away, and the little boy is telling his mom, "Mom, I really want that little flyer. Can I go back?" He ran all the way back, got the flyer from Katie, went back. Guys, it really touches your heart when you see the little children want to just learn and get that those flyers. So, guys, for those of you who are unable to attend with us, if you will, evangelizing, don't forget what we're asking you guys in love as a church family. Just text Katie or I and say, "Hey, we are unavailable to attend," or let us know we're on our way. We're just running a little late. And again, guys, as I open up to you, if you want to go to the door-to-door with us and then call it a day, or you want to go to both or the public outreach, guys, that's awesome. Just remember, we're all commanded to go into the world to do something for Jesus. And every time I walk by an open window, I think of Brother Miracle when he talked about the testimony of putting in those tracks. I haven't done it yet, brother. One day I will. But so there was plenty of windows, amen. Next time, I'm going to try it out. Anyways, guys, let's keep our evangelism ministry in prayer. The more of the members we can get out there, guys, the more impact we can make. So we're going to continue to knock out these apartments for the first hour and a half, as you guys know, and then we'll go straight down to the pier thereafter. And so that's our schedule, if you will, opening up. So next Thursday, we will be at the Sunset Market. Just keep that in prayer, Friday Night Discipleship, so on. And as you guys know, as of right now, the calendar is active. Now, July, don't forget church. We have been panning out flyers at the parade that the City of Oceanside hosts. Remember that? So last year, we had the help of Brother Melito and the church family from Chula Vista to assist us in passing out tracts. So I'm going to invite a lot of my pastor friends from here, elsewhere, and if they want to attend to help us, Again, you guys know we have lunch for them afterwards. But I remember Felipe was on fire that day, man, passing out tracts with everybody. So let's pray for the 4th of July outreach this year. I'm going to research when the day will be. We'll let you guys know ahead in advance. It's a pretty much just the morning. We're going to just knock it out in the morning, and then we'll call it a day because we need to get out there early. And I think last year, Katie, if I'm not mistaken, even though we went out like at 8 o'clock, people weren't showing up until 9, right, Katie, for the parade thing. So we might just go out a little later, like at 8:30, 9-ish, to get down there to the street. You guys already know, we break up on two sides. Here's Wisconsin, right, where Mosin gas station is, and then by the library. So as we go in groups, we're going to kind of go to the middle, pass out tracts. The police are taking it. Everybody was taking them. And then we'll call it a day. Amen. So just keep that in prayer for the 4th of July. Sure be a blessing. Don't forget, guys, study blogs. These are just blogs that I make and create to be a blessing to you so y'all can check them out anytime. Live stream links, you guys already know, Facebook, podcasts, and YouTube. If you need prayer, don't forget, submit a prayer request, a family that prays together. There you have it. Amen. Let's continue to do that. And then last but not least, church, you guys already know we don't pass the hat. Amen. It's between you and God. Whenever you want to give of your finances, whatever you purpose on your heart, y'all, you can do that online. We got the box back there. We got Venmo. We got PayPal. Anything we can do, amen. If you want to sign up for that credit card, Brother Felipe, go ahead. Just automatic, boom, amen, between you and the Lord. And y'all make it happen, and we will leave that between you and God, amen. And it sure is a blessing. We have our Brother Miracle visiting with us, amen. Sure is a blessing to see him. So thank you, Brother, for attending with us. Little church, you guys are excused if y'all want to go, amen. So with that said, let's continue here with our verse-by-verse study. Turn with me now in your Bibles to the book of Galatians, chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. We are going to continue in our part 2 of where we left off from last Sunday in regards to the lust of the flesh. I'm not sure, Brother Giovanni, if you have that other packet for Brother Felipe, the flyer or the staple. Brother Felipe, Brother Giovanni has a copy for you. Amen. And we're going to be specifically there from page 6 through 10. As you guys know, for the men of our church, I'm beginning to pour into them a little bit more, giving them the study guide, if you will, to help them study, if you will, and give them some great points. And so we're going to continue here now, my friend, in Galatians 5, and we're going to pick up on our series of discussing what are the lusts of the flesh. And so this is going to be part number 2. For those of you who haven't been with us in a while, you can just go back on our YouTube, follow along part 1 from last Sunday. So with that said, open up your Bible with me now, Galatians 5. Let's pick up here from verse number 13, and then we'll read through, and then we'll pray. Galatians 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law." Now listen, verse number 19. "Now the works of the flesh are manifest," it's obvious, it's evident, "which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for the word of God. Once again, I need your help. Please prepare my heart to minister the word of God to the saints here at this church, Lord. Once again, God, I just pray that you'd forgive me of any sin or sins which I've committed against your Spirit and others within my heart, Lord. Help me now to receive from you help, and I pray that you would open up the hearts of the members here today, God, that they would have eyes to see and ears to hear what the Bible teaches now concerning the lust of the flesh and how you have given us power to resist from the Holy Spirit in our heart after we trusted the gospel of your Son. So, Father, please, once again, as Brother Miracle prayed, meet with us, fellowship with us. We cannot do anything of our own strength or power. We need the Holy Bible with the Holy Spirit helping us and guiding us and instructing us to continue to renew our minds. And today, my Lord, if there are any of your saints that are struggling, as we're going to read, through lust of the flesh, would you talk to them about it? Would you let them know that you love them, that you're here to help them, to deliver them, Lord, so they don't continue doing anything, God, that's going to hurt them? And so we thank you for the change that we've already seen in some of our life. Continue to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pick up quickly from our notes we left you with from last Sunday. Remember how Jesus taught about the lust of the heart. Matthew 5, he taught us that when a man lusts after a woman, a man already committed the act of adultery with her in his heart. I showed you from our study to go, guys, that the Bible calls the thoughts of our heart the counsels. You can read that in Psalm 81:12, Jeremiah 7:24, 1 Corinthians 11:6, 1 Corinthians 4:5. It's from within, deep down in our bowels. The Bible calls that the inner man and your soul. As I showed you last Sunday, where the desires originate, the thought will begin to ponder what you are observing on the outside. And so I showed you all last Sunday, all the notes, all the verses to show you where lusts originate. Some lusts, ironically, are not sinful, as I showed you from Deuteronomy. God told them that he would bless them wherever their soul lusts after, if they want fruit, if they want veggies, if they want all those things. And then God defines for us the other part of the lust, which turned to sin when it's contrary to his word, which is something that is of the flesh, satisfying, gratifying, something that's evil intended. And I showed you guys that. I talked to you guys about the parable of the sower last Sunday, Mark 4, when the Bible talks about people who have the heart that he likens to a seed being sown among thorns. And sometimes when people allow the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things, they enter in, and Jesus said that it chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. I taught you guys that Jesus warns us of things which can hinder a Christian from being spiritually fruitful and productive in their life. He warns of caring for the things of this world. He warns of the deceitfulness of riches and lusts of other things. And perhaps those other things could be also likened to Galatians 5 when he says, and such like, concerning the works of the flesh. I gave you two side nuggets on cares of this world, in which the Holy Spirit instructs us later in 2 Timothy 2 about no man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life so he can please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. I taught you guys that when Christians begin to entangle themselves with the affairs of this life, it's going to hinder their Christian growth and their spiritual productivity. I told you guys that when brethren begin to involve themselves with politics and governments and social life and family life or any institution which demands more of your time and more of your money and your efforts, more than God and your church, it's going to hinder you. It's going to choke the seed from producing fruit. I also told you that we came into this world with nothing. 1 Timothy 6, remember that we were born and we carried nothing into this world. And yet God still warns us when men desire riches and they want to be rich. God warned about people falling into many foolish and hurtful lusts, and it drowns men in destruction and perdition. You can read that in 1 Timothy 6. And I already told you that not possessing riches, if you will, or possessing riches, it's not a sin to have assets and materials, if you will. But it's the desire, as God said, that they that will be rich, rather than being content in Christ, this will be the hindrance in Christian's life from being fruitful. So I just gave you guys some admonishment, guys. It takes discipline. If you want to further education, if there's opportunity for you to make more money and you want to get that degree, you want to get the certifications, you want to get that promotion, it's going to take discipline for you to say, I know I want that mammon, I know I got my bills, but I know what God still wants me to do with that funds and how he wants me to be a blessing to my local church and helping for the cause of Christ, not having an imbalance. Turn your Bible now with me to John chapter 8. That was just a quick summary of what we left off from last Sunday. John chapter 8, let's continue to dig deep on what the Bible talks about concerning the lusts of the flesh. Part 2. John 8, verse number 44. And by the way, guys, in love, you guys already know, as we read the whole counsel of God, we are going to talk about sins of which you and I are guilty of committing, have committed, but I want to encourage you. You are no longer that person. For those of you who no longer commit those things, and I want you to thank God that you are delivered, if you will, from some of those things, and the things that you are still struggling with, I want you to open up your heart to Jesus and keep asking him to help you so you don't continue. But I just want you to understand that when we go to the counsel of God, we're just letting God instruct us now. And when he reminds us of what we used to do, and yes, it's going to bring back a memory, and yes, it might bring back a thought, and yes, there might be some, if you will, discomfort because we're talking about you and what you used to do. I just want you to know that you don't have to be that person anymore. You can continue to walk in the newness of life, and if you're struggling, you can go to Jesus, who invites you to receive from him grace and help in a time of need to continue to deliver you from what we're going to continue to learn about today. Now listen, John 8:44. Here's Jesus talking to some Hebrews that were debating and opposing him. And he says here that ye are of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh the lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, many of you have heard that prior to our conversion, before we became a born-again Christian, we were subject to the prince of darkness. We were subject to the devil, Satan. He was what I like to say, he was Daddy Satan, Papa Satanás, back in the day for us prior to our conversion. And somehow, some way, in a spiritual sense that I cannot fully grasp yet, obviously, is before we were saved, according to the Bible, we were fulfilling desires that originated with him. We were, if you will, acting upon, and we would completely complete an action from a thought or a temptation in which somehow, some way, he influenced or he tempted you to continue in or on. And we're going to see that today in our study. And I just want to let you know that's the good news of being born again, that when you trusted the gospel, there was a liberation from the power of Satan unto God, Acts 26:18. And your father is no longer the devil. Your father is God the Father. After you put your faith in the gospel, he adopts you into his family. And when that took place at conversion, you were liberated from this power of which Jesus clearly says he is a father over his children. And in this case, when there is that relationship in that, they're going to manifest his lust through them as vessels. So now, just look a bit of the screen for the sake of time. Let me just quickly show you what the Bible teaches now concerning this. Ephesians 2, and then we're going to go to 1 John 3. And if you're fast like me, then that's all right. But look here now, Ephesians 2, and then 1 John chapter 3. The Bible does discuss, and it does share with us, that there are children of God and that there are children of the devil. And that prior to sinners becoming born again, it doesn't matter of the melanin on their clay. It doesn't matter if they're poor or rich. It doesn't matter if they're American, Mexican, European. Sinners who are yet not born again are children of the devil by virtue of the birth into this world and by their unbelief in the gospel. Now look at Ephesians 2 verse 1. The Bible says, "And you had he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world." Now listen, "according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So now I want you to see there, the power of the prince here, that's Satan. And somehow, some way, he has a relationship with sinners. And in that relationship with the unbeliever, there is a manifestation of the lusts that are being lived out through them as vessels, and it was operating in them. It was influencing them. It was somehow, some way, leading them and guiding them, and that's what the Bible says, they were walking according to the course. And it works right now, present tense, in the children of disobedience. Now listen, verse number 3, "among also we all had," past tense, "our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So before you became a born-again Christian, the Bible teaches that you too were once a child of Daddy Satan. You too were once a child of wrath. You were a child of disobedience. And before you were liberated through the gospel power that it can operate through you, you were underneath that bondage. You were underneath that influence from the power of the prince of the air. Okay, the second verse here, 1 John chapter 3. I'm just going to highlight these because we're going to come back to these later. I'm just showing you now quickly. When Jesus said to these Hebrews that their father was not Jehovah, it was Satan. He was not lying. It's true. And so I just want you to see that now. 1 John 3, verse 8 through 10. The Bible says, "He that committed the sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this," now listen, "the children of God are manifest." So where did you read that word manifest before? Galatians 5, right? The works of the flesh are manifest. It's evident. Which are these? So there's going to be a manifestation of who? A child of God. And it's going to be manifested by what? Righteousness emanating from your life. And that's why today, the only way that, I'm not trying to say that we're judging somebody to say if they're saved or not. All we're saying is the only way we can judge by what appears to be where the seed of God is, that is that they're saved is by the way they live. That's all we can observe on the outside. So in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So now, I don't mean to rabbit trail, but all we're saying is that when you become born again, there are two natures now within your body. There's a new creature that dwells inside my body, and that part of my soul that's been born again, it doesn't sin anymore before God the Father. Because of Christ's imputation of righteousness, we don't have time to get in there. But then there's the old man. That's that original nature that you were given by Daddy Adam. Again, it doesn't matter if you got light shade or dark clay, that part of you is still going to sin. But if you're born again, all I want to focus on is this. There should be a manifestation that your daddy is now God. There should be a difference that your daddy no longer Satan. By how you live. So yes, it's okay, brother and sister, when someone says, man, it doesn't look like he's saved because what? What is manifesting from their life? I know they could be saved by faith. We're not arguing that doctrine. I'm just saying that there should be some evidence by your obedience. That's all we're saying. There should be. It should be manifest. And so now you can see it before he got saved. Remember, you were giving in to every desire. Every thought that came into your heart, every desire that came into your mind of sin and lust, you did it because that is Satan. He gave you the complete power to do it. And now that you're saved, you now have the ability to say no. You can resist that power. It's up to you now, my friend, to continue to use that power that God gave you. One more on this topic, 2 Corinthians 4:4, and then we'll continue. Just look up to the screen, 2 Corinthians 4:4. The Bible says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. So in regards to that, earlier what I talked about, how unbelievers manifest the lust of their heart and the lust of their mind by the presence of the power of the prince of the air. All I can say is he has that ability to do that while they remain in unbelief, willingly. But as soon as any sinner is ready and willing to respond in faith to the gospel, he no longer has that ability in that moment to hinder the blindness because there is an ordinance which God had set forth in regards to the gospel, and has the power unto salvation, right, to them that believe. So of any sinner who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, at that very moment, Satan has no ability no longer to keep them blinded willingly. But if they continue in their unbelief, no wonder, as Christ taught in Mark 4:15, when the word is sown, what did Jesus say? The devil comes and takes away the seed that's sown, because there's unbelief in that heart. But when there is belief in that heart to respond to the gospel, that seed cannot be taken away. And I'll show you that in a minute. So it appears, and again, this is just Brother Carlos, take this with a grain. It appears to me that Satan and his evil angels perhaps have the ability and power to take away the word that's sown, Mark 4:15. But Scripture is clear that he's able to perform this action within unbelieving hearts of those who willingly reject the truth. Let me show you a couple of examples. Just look, again, look up to the screen for the sake of time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and then we will go to Romans 6. Look here. 2 Thessalonians 1, and then we'll go to Romans 6. I want you to see here that men have the ability to respond. We are not reformers. We are not Calvinists. We are Bible believers. People have the opportunity to be saved. It's up to them to respond to what God has given them, the light and then the gospel. Now look with me, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, the Bible says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, but now listen, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So judgment will come upon sinners who obey not the gospel. And what does it mean? To know not God. So in order for me to know God, I have to respond to the gospel in faith, and then like Galatians said in chapter 4, we're known of God by that mutual response to his word. I'm just showing you that when an unbeliever remains in unbelief, the enemy has full permission as the ordinance given to him by the Creator. He can keep them blinded. But as soon as that heart responds in faith to trust the gospel, there is an ordinance that the power of the gospel has the means to liberate any sinner from the enemy's blinding influence over their heart. One more on this, Romans 6. Look with me now on the screen, Romans 6, verse number 17. How many of you guys are saved today? Raise your hand, amen. You got saved because you obeyed the gospel. Look with me now, verse number 17. The Bible says, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Remember that, Ephesians 2. But ye have what? Obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. And then for those of you who like 1 Corinthians 15, what did Paul say? For I deliver unto you that which was given to me, the gospel, etc. Christ died for our sins. So all I'm showing you guys is you have the ability to obey. Sinners have the ability to obey. And when they obey from the heart that form of doctrine, the gospel, the enemy no longer has the ability to prevent through the blinding, if you will, influence and effect that he has, because that is an ordinance. Romans 1:16, the Bible says it is the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So the gospel provides supernatural power to liberate any soul from the power of Satan, and thereby empowering them with the Spirit of God who regenerates them. And then once regenerated, the moment that God creates within that sinner a new heart, there's a new creature inside that same body that we were born with. And with that new heart, we're able to resist the lust of our flesh, over the which Satan had the power over us to keep us in bondage, to walk in the newness of life, where we can live free from those lusts we all struggle with since our birth. Now, turn your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Let's go there together. What are we talking about, Brother Carlos? This is the lust of the flesh part 2 study. We are just letting God define for us what are lusts. I showed you last Sunday, for those of you who are here, where they originate, the soul of a man. And in that soul, you have these elements that God describes, even though we might not necessarily have a full comprehension of, like, your heart and your spirit. But the Bible says you have those, and your mind and your conscience and all those, if you will, parts of you, they all play a role in how you respond to a thought that originates deep down in there, and now how God can help you or resist or you give into it and so on and so forth. Now look with me now, Romans 1, verse 19. The Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Look up to the screen with me. Ecclesiastes 7:29, just look up to the screen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, verse number 9. This is a good reason for having a King James Bible. If you cross-reference this verse in a modern translation, they will change the wording, which will make it seem that the Reformed position Calvinists obviously are true because of their scribes. But look here. Lo, this only have I found, that God hath made man upright, but they have sought out many inventions. When you're born into this world, you have enough light, you have enough truth from God to know right from wrong. When you come to your senses of understanding, I'm not going to argue today about the age of accountability, as the old debate goes. When you realize that, you had uprightness since your birth. But somehow, some way, when you failed to respond to that light, you willingly sinned against God. According to Romans 1:19, you knew the truth. You knew there was a God. But what did you do? You held that truth in unrighteousness because the lust of the flesh, the lust of the heart. Now, let's go back to Romans 1. You're already there, but just go back. I'm going to go back. Romans 1. Look with me now as we read. Look now, Romans 1. God made it known. God made it clear. Let's go down now to verse number 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of what? Their own hearts. So again, you call yourself a Bible believer. Lust of the flesh, lust of the heart, lust of the mind. Don't isolate as if the sin is just connected to your carne. That's silly. That's ignorant. It's a spiritual desire that comes from that spiritual part of you, which is your heart. It's your mind. Whatever those are in there, they're in there. And God says the reason why people end up living the way they do is because as he forbears with that little birth child into this world, and as they progress over time saying no to God here, no to God here, eventually God gives them over to those desires. But it starts with them, not God. So I just want you to see now, we all know what we're talking about here today. You know what you're guilty of doing in your past. You did it because you kept resisting and rebelling against your God-given knowledge. And you knew it to be wrong. You knew that it wasn't right to do. And as you continue to live as a free will creature, God gave you over to that desire of your own heart. Now, in this context, we know, talking about homosexuality, sodomy, let's read, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie. We're not going to rabbit show today, but I just want you to understand. All men know what the truth is concerning biological identity, biological fundamentals. I'm a biological male, biological female. I know that I am given these parts to produce, etc., and so on. So what do? They change that truth into a lie. In other words, they know it's wrong. They go against it. I'm just showing you there's your Bible proof. So worshiping, serve the creature more than the creator. Now listen, keep going. Verse number 26. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, so on and so forth. Let's go down here to verse number 29. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So here's what's wild. Ephesians 2 taught us that sinners are underneath the power of the prince of the air, and that sinners are fulfilling the lusts of the flesh and of the mind. We were just doing it because it felt good. Remember that? If it feels good, do it. You remember? That's Daddy Satan's philosophy, okay? But somehow, some way, deep down in that heart of yours, in that conscience, whatever you want to call it, you knew of the knowledge of God because God gave it to you at birth. All men have a light given them of God, John 1, 7, Romans 12, 3. All men have the knowledge of God, Romans 1, 19. But because you decided to continue to live against that truth, you knew to be right. Eventually, God gave you over to those desires. So whether little kid growing up in your little household, again, it doesn't matter, Mexicano, Americano, European, doesn't matter if you're poor, rich, you knew it was wrong to fornicate. You knew it was wrong to lie. You knew it was wrong to steal. You knew it was wrong to fill in the blank. But over time, you kept battling that guilt. The adrenaline began to pump in your heart, and you, oh man, I'm feeling guilty. I don't want nobody to catch me. God, the maker, is watching you. And he sees, okay, that's what you want. I'm going to give you over to that. Guys, I showed you last Sunday all the verses from the Old Testament about Israel. Remember that? All throughout the Psalms, God gave them over the lust. God gave them the desires. Remember the meat, all that stuff. Remember that? That's what he does. He gives the sinners two things. He can either give the sinner knowledge unto salvation or knowledge unto reprobation. It's up to them. So therefore, this is not foreordained or predestinated. This is right now, real time, God responding to people. And I just want you to see. Now let's read. So what are the evidences or what are the manifestations of some of these now? Lust of the heart and then lust of the flesh and so on and so forth. Verse number 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness. Ooh, brother, do you know that? Yes, we call homosexuality a reprobate thing. You know, sister, we call fornicating, right, before getting married. We know that's a reprobation. We know that's horrible. But covetousness is right there on that list. You know what Colossians says? Idolatry is covetousness. Brother and sister, we know we're not worshiping a statue anymore, man. We know we don't have a little image, little pans with little plastic baby Jesuses to throw the party. But when you were desiring that woman and that man, thinking that it'll gratify you, and if only you had this pleasure over here, you know what? That's a testimony of a reprobate mind. Now let's keep going. Maliciousness. Ooh. Being malice towards people, that you want them to get what's coming to them because you're angry. They deserve that. They did me wrong. They deserve what's coming. I'm glad they got fired. I'm glad they died in a car wreck. That's a reprobate mind. Full of envy. Are you envious? Were you envious before? Were you just jealous of what people possess and you wish they had those things? You know what God says? Reprobate mind. Murder. Oh, we all know that's bad, guys. Obviously, that guy just totally took a man's life. But debate? What about debating with God? What about debating with the counsel of Scripture? What about being deceitful? What about malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things? What about disobedient to your parents? Okay, that little boy, that little girl, he didn't murder somebody. That little boy, that little girl, it's not like he's causing division in a church. But man, he's disobeying his parents. Reprobate mind. So I want you to see that when God has given that sinner over to his or her free will heart to give them over to the lust of their heart, it's not completely impossible to get them back here because, again, Romans 6, eventually you can respond in obedience to the gospel. God will do away. I'm just telling you, he's giving over sinners to what they want versus what he wants for them. And he's a good God to do that. Without natural affection, oh, I'm sorry, without understanding, covenant breakers. How many of you guys have said you would do something for someone and you didn't follow through? I gave you my word, I'll do it, and then you backed out on your deal. That's a reprobate mind. Without natural affection, again, we already talked about that. Homosexuality, bestiality, pedophilia, when a man or a woman desires a relationship out of their God-given function from the manufacturer. Anybody here? Without natural affection. Implacable, unmerciful. Some of you have a hard time being merciful to people. When they ask you to forgive them, you keep holding something against them. Reprobate mind. Who, verse number 32, knowing the judgment of God. You know, when people do that, they know it's wrong. That's why they are without excuse. You cannot argue against the word of God. Now, you can talk to Brother Carlos all day long. I understand. I'm clay right there, brother. I'm a wretched clay with you, brother. I'm just telling you, sister, that we know that it's wrong. Not only they which commit such things are worthy of death. Listen, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So no wonder when you were living the way you used to before you got saved, you hung out with the people that were like you, because that's what y'all doing together. I want to join the gang. Why? Because everybody over here is gang mentality, like-minded. I'm over here hanging out with the crew that's drinking up or whatever the case might be, because we're all in this together. We all have a reprobate mind to fulfill this lust, because we've all been given. No one's condemning each other over here. It feels good. No one's saying it's wrong over here. Why? Because we're all in this together. It's getting a little hot. We might need to turn the AC on, Brother Felipe. Romans 6. I'm just telling you now, when we're talking about lusts, where do they start? Your heart. So don't do the flesh, brother and sister. Don't just say, oh, my meat made me do it. No, this is just a carcass. This thing is just your body. It's just a flesh. As soon as this hand is chopped off, brother, you ain't going to stop sinning. I mean, guys, dang on Ray Charles, my man. He was blind, okay? Come on, don't be blaming his eyesight. That brother was hardcore. Used to be doing dope and, you know what I'm saying, all that stuff. Whether you're blind, whether you're deaf, a man can still want that thing. That's wild. So I'm just telling you, don't be saying, oh, my flesh, my piece of meat. No, it's your heart. It's the desires of your mind in that soul of yours when it goes uncontrolled. But God gives you the power after you get saved. Now look at Romans 6, verse number 12. How many of you guys are Christians here this morning? Raise your hand. Okay, now watch this. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. You don't have to let it reign anymore, brother and sister. It doesn't have the power no more like it used to. You have the power now because of Christ in you to say, I'm not given to that desire. I know my heart and I know my body, it wants adultery. I know it wants fornication. I know it wants drunkenness. I know it wants bitterness. I know it wants maliciousness against somebody. I know it wants hatred towards a fellow Christian. But I don't want to let it reign. I have the power to say no. And so look, I'm just telling you, God said, don't let it reign in that thing anymore. You got power. You got Holy Ghost power, as the brethren next door get excited. Amen. You got it. I'm just telling you, you got to use that Holy Ghost power now, brother and sister. All born-again Christians have been given the Holy Spirit of the living God. We no longer have to live the life we once lived prior to our conversion. We've been given the power of God to help us resist sin inside our mortal bodies. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we using that power? Let's go now to Romans chapter 13. Romans 13, verse number 14. Romans 13, 14. Can I encourage you? You can start with this. When you wake up in the morning, before you give your spouse a kiss, for those of you who are married, before you check your social media, for those of you who are single, you can do something to help you to fight the rest of the day. Look at verse 14. The Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You can put him on. And when you put Jesus on, he is going to help you to not fulfill that desire. But somehow, some way, when that word provision, you're making room, is what I'm just trying to tell you. You're making room for it. You're making availability for it. You're providing for the desires of the heart and of the flesh time and money and effort to fulfill it. But God doesn't want his children to permit themselves any means of being able to fulfill the lust of their flesh. He wants us to prevent any means whereby we might commit sins against him. And how can you prepare yourself ahead of time? Put on Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Bible's still good. Anybody out there? All right. It's getting a little quiet. Amen. Don't get excited. Amen. Holy Ghost power. Yeah, we need that, brother. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read together now. Verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. All did eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Remember that God dealing with Israel? He delivered them. The blood of the Lamb, he delivered them. Going through, they murmured, they complained, they lusted, they fornicated, they started having crazy parties and everything down on that mountain. God was not well pleased. Now, listen, verse number 6. The Holy Spirit preserved that example in the Holy Bible. He's writing to you Christians, telling you something from the law and giving you an example. Now listen, verse 6. Now these things were our examples. To the intent, we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Aren't you glad to be a Christian here today? Many of us who have fornicated prior to our conversion and then after still making mistakes, you weren't killed by God. That's grace, amen. I'm just telling you. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, complaining. And some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyed. Now listen, verse 11. All these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Brother Carlos, I'm not a murmurer. Brother Carlos, I'm not a fornicator anymore. Brother Carlos, I'm not hanging around, partying, doing all that. Okay, but look at verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. None of us are too far from slipping up, falling into giving in to the lust of our heart, of our mind, and of our flesh. Who do we need? We need Jesus. We need the help of Christ in us to say, Lord, I know what I'm capable of doing because I know me. You know me. You know what I've done. God, I need your help when I go to a place. I need your help when I'm interacting with this individual, or I'm having these dealings with people, or I'm over here in the privacy of my heart, God, when no one's around me with my phone, or God, I need you to help me from being me. I need to be more like you, Lord. Now listen, verse 13. There hath no temptation you, but such as is common to man. How many of you guys are thankful that God is faithful? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. But now listen, before you tell me, Brother Carlos, why I gave in to the lust, I just want to tell you that the God who you believe in, who's faithful, look at what it says, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Now, I know burden bearing and trials, you know, suffering for Christ, I know we can contextually discuss that, but I just want to share with you real quick that when that temptation comes from the devil, remember the fiery darts we talked about last Sunday? When that flesh is aroused by someone else around you, or your heart and your mind in idleness begins to wander, you have a way to escape. It's up to you to choose the path of escape. When you do not choose the path of escape, you're going to give into it. And when you do, that's when you sin. You fulfill the lust. You grieve the spirit. The only thing left for you to do is come back to God and say, Lord, would you forgive me? I gave into it again. I didn't control it like you told me to. I know it's wrong to hate. I know it's wrong to be malicious. I know it's wrong to treat people with bitterness, emulation, wrath. Lord, I'm sorry for being messed up. God, would you help me? That's all you can do. You got to keep coming back to God. All right, now let's continue here. Let's go back to Ephesians 2. We can focus now as we built up, giving you guys the platform to understand now what we're talking about. We got to give you it in pieces and we got to build upon. Amen. Ephesians 2. So we were once not saved, born again Christians. It doesn't matter the color of melanin on your clay, dark clay, light clay, we were all on our way to hell. It doesn't matter if you were part of a gang, military, if you were a rich man, a poor man, it doesn't matter if you were an American, a European, we were all going down to the same pit. We can all talk about white lives matter while we're burning together, okay? It doesn't matter. So prior to that, we were dead in sins and trespasses. We were underneath the condemnation of God against sin. You can read that in John 3, verse 2. Wherein, so within that state of unbelief, before I became a Christian, in that position before God, that's standing before God, in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So once again, the Bible is defining for you lust of the heart, Romans chapter 6, Romans 1, lust of the flesh, lust of the mind. They all connect in the desire. And when those desires go contrary and you don't get a hold of it now, you're going to give into it. So I just want you to see now, it's you can't just blame your piece of meat, brother. You got to blame that heart. You got to blame the mind. You got to go back on the inside and say, oh man, it starts right in there. What are some examples of lusts? Even though we've already gone over a lot, let's continue now. Ephesians chapter 4. I'll show you a couple of examples. Ephesians 4 verse 19. Let's read verse 18. This is real good. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart. Remember Romans 1. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Now, I want you to look at this with me. Look at Ephesians 4:19. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto, and then we'll continue. What did Romans 1 say? When people have the knowledge of God, they hold it in unrighteousness, they continue to rebel, God gives them over to the desires of their heart, the reprobate mind. Here, they're giving themselves over to that. Isn't that wild? Their conscience has been so hardened, knowing that they shouldn't watch porn, they shouldn't deal with little children, they shouldn't murder, they shouldn't have malicious thoughts, they shouldn't keep lying, being a hypocrite. They are hardening their mind and their heart and their conscience to the point where it no longer feels bad. Now that's scary. I've heard testimonies from gangster guys in prison for over 20, 30 years who get saved because they still had a little bit of conscience meat left for them to feel bad about what they've done. And then rich men on the outside who have never been committed of a crime, who to this very day, they don't feel bad about stealing money from people, bribery, pedophilia. Oh my goodness, I just read an article the other day about a fellow who was running for Congress in another state. How many of you guys have heard of the dark web? Anybody heard of the dark web? Horrible. Child pedophilia stuff. Man's married, has family. He doesn't feel bad anymore. He gave himself over to that thing. So here's what's wild. God will give that sinner over to the desire of their heart, Romans 1. But then where they're at, and God gives them up to that point, they're going to go a little bit further. And they're going to say, man, this just feels good. I'm going to keep lying. I'm going to keep stealing. I'm going to keep, and it no longer feels bad. That's scary. Now that's who I want to avoid. When that conscience no longer feels bad about wrongdoing. Now listen, verse number 19, over unto lasciviousness, to work all in cleanness with greediness. Let's talk about lasciviousness. What is lasciviousness? Let's read it together. We have here lasciviousness, looseness, irregular indulgence of animal desires, wantonness, lustfulness, tendency to excite lust and promote irregular indulgences. You know, in the world, they like to joke around the stereotypes of men just being like, you know, animals. Oh, they're just craving that. You know, they're just an animal. That's what happens to a man or a woman who hardens their heart against God's truth that was in there. And now they just excite that inner desire for anything sensual, anything physical, just to satisfy it. I need that fix. Let me watch that porn. I need that sex. Let me get that need met. To work all in uncleanness with greediness. So those are lusts. Look at verse 22. that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Look at verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, that's a lust. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Go down to 29. Let no corrupt communication, that's a lust, proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness, that's a lust, wrath, that's a lust, anger, clamor, evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Those are lusts. So then it sounds to me now, it's my responsibility. God gave me the Holy Spirit. He gave me a new heart when I got saved. He gave me a holy Bible. But now I have to put into practice, I have to use that power, and every time that my lusts come to surface, there's that wrath again, there's that anger, there's that malice, there's that speaking, there's that desire for adultery, fornication. I now have to put it away. God ain't going to do that for you. Look at that. You put it away. Now, we will get into it later. When he sees the desire in your heart that you don't want to do it, that's that supernatural part of the Holy Spirit that we all talk about, the victory. I got the victory. I got deliverance. He'll do his part when you do your part first. If you want proof, go back to Genesis 20, 21. King Abimelech, you know what God told that fellow in a dream? He withheld him from sinning against Abraham's wife because he said of the integrity of his heart. He said, I know, I withheld thee from sinning against me. So that's a lesson for you, Christian. God is ready to withhold you when he sees you don't want to do it. But when you want to keep doing it, no wonder why you keep doing it, because God ain't going to be fooled. Now look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're almost done with today, and then we'll get ourselves ready for the Lord's Supper. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look with me now in verse number 3. Once again, as Christians, we are still under rules, laws. When brethren say, I'm not under law, I'm under grace, I'm under grace, I'm not, well, they're foolish, because there are laws in grace. There are New Testament commandments that grace teaches, and I'll show you that in Titus before we close. We won't get ahead. I'm getting too excited. Listen now, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. And no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Now, what is concupiscence? Concupiscence is to covet or lust after. It's to desire. It's a lust. It's an unlawful and irregular desire of sexual pleasure. In a more general sense, the coveting of carnal things, you know, irregular appetite for worldly good, it's very similar to lasciviousness. So yes, for you single Christians out there, the battle to keep your bodies pure and free from fornicating prior to getting married with another Christian, that's real. But it's also real for you spouses too, to not commit adultery. It's real. So remember, the world teaches their own. Before you became a child of God, remember what they taught us? It's okay to test the waters. How many of y'all heard that before? Friends with benefits. How many of y'all heard of that before? Anybody out there? Oh, we're friends with benefits, man. You know, we're cool. We can make out and all that. You know, it's just a fling. Remember that? Whatever that worldly garbage. Remember, Ephesians 2, you were just fulfilling the course of the world. That's how you were taught. But now, you and I know, looking back, after we got saved, we can now see how God is teaching us how hurtful it was when we allowed our mortal bodies to join with others prior to Christian marriage. You and I know of the psychological effects it had on us. You and I know of the emotional effects it had on us. You and I know of the memories in our brain that are fused with someone now who is not our spouse that we're going to have to fight every time you come together in intimacy with your now wife and now husband, images. Those are called mirror neurons, by the way. You know what God teaches us, friend? The children of the devil out there live like that because they don't know me. So when you or other Christians sin against God by fulfilling this lust, in this case we're talking about fornication or sexual misconduct out of marriage, it's a testimony that that Christian doesn't know God. Now remember Peter? What was he guilty of doing? Anybody? Denying Jesus three times. Christians who continue fornicating or fulfilling these things that we're reading about, you know what they're testifying? Jesus, I don't know you. Look, what are they saying? Look at what God said here. Those Gentiles who know not God, that's just how they live. And when believers fulfill these type of lusts, what are they testifying? I don't know you, God, in that moment. Saved by grace through faith, 1 Corinthians, we understand that brother, that sister, chapter 5, chapter 6, that's what he calls them. But when they do the deed, I don't know him. I don't know him. Because why? That desire is more satisfying than the Savior. It's getting a little hot in here. Let's turn on the AC, man, anyway. Christians who continue fornicating, fulfilling desires, that's what they testify. God have mercy upon the brethren who are still struggling in this area. You need to pray for them. God is ready to help and deliver his children anytime. He's just waiting on them to call out for help, deliverance. Not just from this particular lust, but any lust, amen. God warns women. Listen now, women, before you off the hook now. Men, you already know. Men are just brute beasts. We already know that. We're just donkeys. Remember what Job said? We're an ass's colt, anybody out there? God warns women about this who have gotten married. Now listen for you married women. While their husbands are away at home, and somehow, some way, temptation comes through some guy knocking on the door, modern-day application through their smartphone, television, naked men, they observe on the movie screen. You can read that in 2 Timothy 3:6. Women who are silly, laden with sins, God warns, when that goes uncontrolled, before you know it, that guy gets in there. Why? Because you didn't let the man, Christ Jesus, hold you. All right, we're almost done. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Anybody still like the Bible here? Amen? All right. All right. 2 Timothy 4. Here's the good news. For those of you who are saved now, I want you to understand that you are no longer that person, and God knows that. Praise the Lord. Some of us who used to commit some of these things, and some of you who no longer do that, you're forgiven, you're delivered. Keep walking in freedom. Don't look back, because you know how it affected you then. You know how it will continue to affect you if you give into it. So guys, keep looking to Christ and moving forward. Now listen, we're almost done. 2 Timothy 4. Let's read together verse number 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove. That's what we talked about last Friday, right, Brother Felipe, about admonishing in love, reproving, rebuking. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Don't forget there needs to be patience. There needs to be gentleness, as we learn in our Sunday school, and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But now listen. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers. Now listen, having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now, what I want to leave you with. We see it now more than ever, that there are multitudes of so-called churches that claim to believe in the one true God. They feign themselves Christians, although meanwhile they have women preachers, homosexual preachers, promoting or embracing sodomite homosexual agendas, structuring their church leadership on everything that is contrary to sound doctrine. But how can you tell or identify that your church is not fulfilling this prophecy? Well, here's what I would encourage you to do. Read your Bible. Test their teachings against it. And if you find that their teachings and practices are in alignment and in agreement, then good. And if not, bad stuff. Do you know, Christian, that you can find any church nowadays to suit your needs? I think we live in the dispensation of hometown buffet or Golden Corral. You say, what do you mean, brother? Because anybody can find a church that suits them to fulfill what? Their own lust. Do I want a spicy kind of church? I know where I'm going to go for that. Do I want sugar, water, church? I know where I'm going to go for that. And I'm just telling you, any one of us can fulfill this prophecy, because I want you to understand this is being written to Christians. And he is telling, Holy Spirit warned us 2,000 years ago. He's warning us that in these last days, it's not necessarily about devils or aliens and UFOs and all that that's going to trip people up. It's when a Christian no longer wants to hear the truth. It's because in the heart, in the mind, and the flesh, there are desires that go contrary, and they don't want to continue to be under it. And so what do? They turn. It wasn't God that made that happen. It was them. So as we come to a close, if you're looking for a church that doesn't preach against sin, that doesn't preach modest apparel for both men and women, that doesn't admonish its members to give of their finances, soul win, commitment to their local church, and not being church hoppers, you can find that church somewhere on this earth. If you're looking for a church to simply sit in without any participation whatsoever to help in the involvement because of lack of preaching or teaching on that, you'll find it. You know, just like you want to find where you want to eat that ramen next time or that social media, you know, you'll find it. So, brother and sister, read with this carefully before we close. Read with me carefully. Look in verse number 2 one more time. What are we commanded to do? Preach the word. We are commanded to be instant in season and out of season. When it seems like it's a good time to remind a brother and sister, and when it is a good time to remind that brother and sister, we are called to preach the truth. We know that we're all at different walks in our life, but listen, when we have to reprove you, we will. When we have to rebuke, we will. When we have to encourage you with patience, we will. But notice, we're going to do it with the doctrine. Because we're warning you, brother and sister, the time since the days of the apostle, okay, remember Demas, he forsook brother Paul and all these guys, they already had issues, to the time of the rapture. It's going to happen when you no longer want to be under the truth. And when that happens, then you will fulfill this prophecy. So what can I just beg you as your friend? Do not turn your ears, your eyes, your hearts, and your minds away from the truth when it's taught behind this pulpit. Please believe and receive the truth as we teach it. And I, along with men who I seek to disciple and assist me in teaching, will continue to do our best to teach and to preach this book with patience. But when you begin to resist, when you begin to backbite, and you begin to demonstrate stubbornness against submitting to your pastor's leadership and decision-making, we will suffer long. We'll be patient. But we're not going to change for you because you're not God, and neither are we. What must we do? Honor his word. We're going to stop there for the sake of time. We're going to prepare ourselves now for the Lord's Supper. Are you still good, brother, for leading it? Okay. And as we come to close, I just want you to meditate upon what we spoke about today. Many of you know we're a small little fellowship. We don't have an altar, but you have an altar right there in your heart. And as Brother Felipe is going to come up here and we're going to get ourselves ready for the Lord's Supper, I want you to pray. And if you're struggling today with lusts of the heart and of the mind and of the flesh, God knows that. He knew that before he saved you. He knew what he was dealing with. He wants to help you. He's gracious. He's compassionate. Just like we read last Sunday, the Israelites, but when they cried, when they remembered the rock, he had compassion. He had grace. So today, whoever you are, just know God has compassion and grace. He wants to help you. He's helped me, guys. I didn't change overnight. I wasn't a babe and an adult. It took time. But I'm here now. Hey, man, I ain't looking back. And whoever you are today, look forward. And let the Lord continue to do that. And so let's go ahead and take some time to pray. As Brother Felipe makes his way on up here, we're going to get ourselves ready. And if we can get some of the members, thank you, Sister Eileen, to help pass out the elements. We have the crackers out there, and then we'll go in and close. So thank you, my brother. And we're going to close now for the stream, get ourselves ready for the Lord's Supper.